Good morning. The first reading today is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 10, the resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe and are filled with the inexpressible glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again and welcome, particularly if you're new or you're visiting. My name is Daniel Newman and I'm the rector of the... Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit, who caused the accounts of your Son's resurrection to be written so that we might know about it and believe it, would be at work in our hearts this morning, helping us to understand what it means for us that we might go from here changed by what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how much hope do you have at the moment? And by hope I mean believing that something good is going to happen in the future. How much hope do you have at the moment? Perhaps you have more hope now, this time this year, than you did this time last year. 31 million people have had their first dose of the vaccination. 5 million have had their second dose. Restrictions are being lifted. We can do more and more things. And so perhaps you're feeling hopeful about the future. Maybe you'll even get to go away on holiday later this year. But maybe there are things that mean you're not feeling very hopeful. You look at the effect on people's jobs. You look at people's health and well-being. You look at how the church has responded to the crisis. You look at our society and the implications for our freedoms. So maybe you're not feeling very hopeful about the future. And of course there is life outside of COVID, isn't there? Maybe you're dealing with a long-term illness and you can't see beyond it and life looks hopeless. Or a relationship that is difficult to get out of. Maybe you don't feel very hopeful. Well, what does God have to say to us about hope this Easter day? We hear about hope in our second reading from 1 Peter. Listen to these words again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the condition we're born in, we don't have hope. We have wandered from God's ways, we've gone our own way, and we deserve God's condemnation, his punishment, for the way that we've done that. We don't have hope. Jesus said that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Peter here is writing to those who trust in Jesus Christ, and if people trust in Jesus Christ, that is because they have been given new birth. They are united to Jesus. They're joined to him. They're joined to him in his death. So he takes upon himself all the ways in which we've turned away from God and gone our own way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. We're united to Christ in his death. And we're united to Christ in his resurrection. Just as Christ was raised to life, we are given new spiritual life. We're given new spiritual life now, and we're given the hope of being raised from the dead in the future, of being given glorious new resurrection bodies like Jesus, that will never die or get sick or suffer or experience pain. In a perfect world, free from pain and suffering and sickness and death. And it's in his great mercy. It's not something that we earn or deserve. It's a gift that is freely given. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And look how Peter goes on to describe this inheritance. He calls it an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Well, I'm sure we're all familiar with news stories of people who have invested in something and it made a lot of money and then it suddenly crashed. There's someone who invested in cryptocurrency, and it made a lot of money to start with and then everyone joined in and suddenly it lost its value. It perishes. Well, have a look at this. Can anyone tell me what this painting is? Rio.
Is it, I don't know.
Anyone else? Ruben.
Queen Victoria?
It's not Queen Victoria, a little bit earlier than that. Cavan.
It's the Mona Lisa.
It's the Mona Lisa. So the Mona Lisa can fade and perish and spoil. And that's why it's kept in a climate-controlled container behind bulletproof glass. It was insured in 1962 for $100 million at the time, which was the highest value at the time. Now, the equivalent is $660 million. And it is illuminated by special 20-watt LED bulbs, and there are special filters to filter out ultraviolet and infrared rays, things that we can't even see that could do it damage. If this was left out, then we wouldn't be looking at this. We'd be looking at this. It would fade, and arguably it wouldn't be as valuable and as precious. The inheritance that God is giving us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not like that. It cannot fade. And it is kept for us. Can we have the picture on the screen? There we go. Can anyone tell me where that is? Anyone? Any ideas? Give you a moment to think about it. Let me give you a clue. It's in America. Anyone? It's not the White House. Caroline. It's Fort Knox, yes. So that's Fort Knox in Kentucky, and it houses 5,000 tons of gold bullion. Okay? And to get into Fort Knox, I'm told that there are four fences to cross. Two of them are electric. You come across some armed guards, and then there's some cameras. There are granite walls 4 feet thick, which are reinforced with 750 tons of steel. Then there are some more armed guards. If you get through them, there's a maze of locked doors until you get to the 22-ton vault door. Then you have to assemble all the members of staff who have parts of the code, because no one has the whole code, in order to open the vault. And once you're in, then you've got to get into all the individual little vaults that are inside. And when you get out, there'll be 30,000 soldiers waiting for you. Nothing has ever been taken from Fort Knox. Well, our inheritance is even more secure than that. It is kept in heaven for us. Nothing can take that away from those who trust in Christ. It is preserved. I want you to keep that word in your mind, preserved. Our inheritance is preserved. Well, it's all well and good, the inheritance being kept safe, but how can we be sure that we will enjoy it ourselves? Jesus told a story in the Bible about a rich man. He was a farmer, and he had a bumper harvest one year, so big that his barns weren't big enough. So he said, I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and I'll take it easy for a few years. I've got plenty to last me through a few years. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And that night God says to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. All these things you have amassed for yourself, whose will they be? Now, that was physical riches, and he didn't get to enjoy them, that he stored them up for himself. How do we make sure that that doesn't happen to us with our spiritual inheritance? Well, the answer's there in verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, that's a word we're familiar with at the moment, isn't it? Shielded. Those who are most vulnerable in our society have been shielding. We have been keeping them safe from the coronavirus. They've been told to stay indoors, to shop online and do things like that to minimise their contact with the outside world. And then March the 31st, the magic day, shielding was lifted. They were allowed to go out and enjoy the world just a little bit more. Those who trust in Christ, those who have faith, are being shielded by God's power. This is the power of the God who made heaven and earth. And the special day is the day when Christ returns and that inheritance is revealed. And that's a source of great joy, verse 5. In this you greatly rejoice. And this is good news, because during this life, Peter says, verse 6, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We do face trials in this life. Trials in our relationships with others, trials with our health, trials in our work, the trial of the last year. And we need God to protect us so that we keep on trusting in him and keep on going and receive that inheritance. And Peter says these trials come in order to prove the genuineness of our faith. Verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold,
which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. If we never went through any trials, then it could never be known whether our faith was genuine or not. We could just be loving God and trusting in Him because everything is good. It's only when things are difficult that we show that our faith is genuine. We love God for who He truly is. We trust Him for who He truly is, and not simply because of the good things that He gives us. So the people Peter is writing to do trust in Jesus, though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, verse 8. And they show that by their love for Him, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And they show that by their joy. They've got this hope. Even in their trials, they have joy. They are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the inheritance is being preserved, and those who trust in Christ are being protected. That's the second word to remember, protected. Well, how can we be sure that this is for us? And that brings us to our final word. Jesus' death and His resurrection were promised beforehand. They were predicted by the prophets, or rather, predicted by God the Holy Spirit through the prophets. Verse 11, that the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Let's just give one example of that, one that Peter himself draws on. Isaiah 53. Here's a prediction of the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The sufferings of Christ, and then the glories that would follow. 53 and verse 11. After the suffering of His soul, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and He will bear their iniquities. This suffering individual will be raised to life again, and those who know Him will be counted righteous in God's sight. The Spirit of Christ, through the prophets, predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And so they wonder, when is this going to happen? Is this going to be in our lifetime? Is it going to be in our children's lifetime, or a long way off? And it's revealed to them that it is serving those to whom Peter is writing. I don't know if you've ever had a birthday card or a Christmas card, and on the envelope it says, do not open until the 25th of December, or do not open until whatever day your birthday is. Well, imagine some of these things. They're the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Jesus' death on the cross is one. Imagine Jesus' resurrection. That's one of the glories. Being saved from sin, another of the glories. Jesus' return to bring about that perfect world, yet another of the glories. And eternal life. And imagine all those things being put into an envelope that is marked, do not open until the first century, and it being sealed up and kept. And then the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. And people proclaim the good news that Jesus died and rose again, and that people can be forgiven and have eternal life. Peter says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's like this envelope was then ripped open and all these things were revealed when the good news was first preached. And this is now available for us. We have that good news written for us in the scriptures. It's been proclaimed around the world. It's been proclaimed down the generations. And we can believe it too. These promises are for us. And our reading just finishes with Peter saying, even angels long to look into these things. So spies, if they're given special documents, might have written on the document, "For your eyes only. It's not to be shared with anyone else." And so imagine all these things in an envelope. And on the envelope is also written the words, imagine them, in the envelope. Imagine written on the words, "For human eyes only." It's not for the angels. Jesus Christ didn't become an angel to live and die and rise again. He became a human being. And so this is for human eyes only. It's for us. Another way of thinking about this, imagine you're on a flight and you're in first class and there's someone who wants to see what life in first class is like and the luxurious chairs that you can lie back in and sleep in and the televisions and the drinks and the canapes that you're served and all those sorts of things. And they peer through the curtain. Well, the angels are in economy class, looking at us in first class, and the curtain is pulled shut on them. It is not for them. It is for us. So the hope that comes through Jesus' resurrection from the dead is preserved. We are protected so that we will receive it. And it is promised to us. And so the risen Jesus this morning, through Peter, says to us, "Will you believe in me for hope? Will you believe in me for hope? Don't put your trust in things that will perish, spoil or fade, whether that's your pension pot or your investments or your career or trying to do really well at school and being really successful. Don't put your trust in those things. And trust in me for hope when things are a trial, when you suffer grief." Peter here talks about suffering grief in all kinds of trials. It's general. And it could be grief related to COVID. Yes, things are being released. Restrictions are being lifted. But at the same time, we still can't meet in very large gatherings, just two households or six people outside. We can't meet inside yet. Still activities we can't do. We don't know if there's going to be another wave. We may face more trials. But again, there's life outside of COVID as well. We may face trials because of other things. Because of difficulties at work, maybe in our families, maybe at school, maybe in a relationship with someone who disappoints us, who lets us down. And we need to believe in Jesus for hope during those times as well. And the result, if we do that, according to Peter, is that we will be filled with inexpressible joy. We will be filled with inexpressible joy. And that is because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead gives us a hope that is sure, that will not perish, that will not spoil, that will not fade. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for promising that your Son would come and live and die and rise again. And we thank you that happened in history and was proclaimed in the power of the Spirit so that we can have confidence in it. We pray that you would give us all grace to trust in your Son, to know that new birth that is promised, and that we might receive that inheritance that does not perish, spoil, or fade. Please preserve us through the trials we face, and give us that joy that cannot be expressed, that comes from knowing the sure hope that awaits us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.